when my early morning day begins, and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah, I know this is good. Bill Withers called John DeCoss and said, man, I wish I could do that.
You know, we all sing along with this in the newsroom.
I'm telling you. When Bill Withers, does it get any better than Bill Withers? Let me answer that for you. No, it does not. All right, at 6:12, there was a flight last night scheduled Boston to Sacramento that had to land in South Dakota because of extreme turbulence. You had people flying out of their seatbelts and smacking off the ceiling. 25 people, including a couple of crew members, were treated for injuries at a local hospital, I think in Sioux City, and released. But as bad an incident of midair turbulence as you could see. Fortunately, because everyone has a phone on their camera and there is no decency, people were good enough to post pictures of bodies being taken off the planes. I don't know. I don't know how that's what occurs to you at that point.
Right, I know.
You want a picture of that? You want a picture of people being taken? Now, again, everybody's said to be okay, but it could have been much worse, and the pilot saved the plane. Saved the plane, saved the people. So that's in the news this morning. You get this explosion at a building outside of D.C. I'm not sure, what city was that? Silver Spring.
Yeah.
In Silver Spring, Maryland, which appears to be a gas explosion, but federal authorities still looking at it. A building blew up. I mean, just absolutely blew up. And five people are still missing there, including a couple of kids. It's a terrible story.
More than 30 people injured in that.
And
unbelievable.
Another amusement park accident. A three-year-old flew off a roller coaster. Anyone else along with me on this going, three-year-olds ride roller coasters?
I thought there's that height requirement thing, isn't
there? Yeah, that's weird.
Well, even if the kid's sitting in somebody's lap, why would you let a three-year-old go on a roller coaster?
Do you remember, the Kansas, the little boy in Kansas, the 10-year-old who was
horrible,
horrifyingly killed in that incident? Speaking of height requirements, they had a height requirement on that and an age requirement, and they just lowered the height requirement. I think it was a week before that accident, and people are saying, why?
Well, what's going to happen now is you're going to see regulation of amusement parks because there's really no, in the last 2 weeks, we saw that balloon accident in Texas. We found out there's no regulation of balloon pilots and regulation of amusement parks because there's no regulation of that. Now, regulation isn't always a bad thing, but it's only a good thing if the people who do the inspections are committed people who are trying to get it right. Mm-hmm. But I grew up, in rural upstate New York where the big deal was the local carnival coming in. And I remember this vividly, along with the fact that kids could play money ball, which was funny because you had this like beach ball. It would come down and land on a different colored circle, and you'd have kids betting, give me five on red, thinking that may have been illegal. But I remember looking to my right while I was playing money ball. I said five on red. And I looked to my right, and I hear some screaming. Because the little roller coaster, because it's a carnival, it's a traveling carnival, it's a little roller coaster, who knows how high it was, but it wasn't high. But somebody didn't bolt two of the legs in. Because it's really important when you set it up to bolt the legs into the ground. So the first run, as they opened the carnival, the car has fortunately stayed on the track, but when it went around the corner,
it collapsed.
The roller coaster lifted off the ground.
You mean the legs of the ride, not the legs of a person.
The legs just came off the ground.
That's horrendous.
So the entire thing tipped.
Those have always scared. I've never been a roller coaster fan ever, but that scares me. The carnival's coming in town because they think how quickly they set them up and take them down.
And haven't we learned now that all of those carnies are child predators?
No, I don't think we've learned that at all. No, I think that's a ridiculous statement. What do you mean every one of them?
Okay, most of them.
So, no, that's not true at all either.
Some of them.
You must forget where you work again. You're in the newsroom.
I know, and it seems like every time I report on a carnival, it's about one of those cases.
All right, Steve.
Well, you traumatize it in your
Steve
youth Grzanich,
G-R-Y-Z-A-N-I-C-H.
Yeah, for the lawsuit.
Make sure you put that Y in there.
But I will say one thing, though. I did a series on this many years ago, at least more than 5 years ago. And at that point, I know this has changed right now, but there weren't background checks for ice cream truck drivers and carnival workers. But now there are, of course.
And then ones that run
it's
the
nice
games.
It's nice of you to try to protect Steve's outrageous Trump-like statements.
But I asked a question. I wasn't really submitting.
No. Yeah, we'll tell that to your attorney. It's 617. The rock and roller coaster that I mentioned was bolted back to the ground, and it was at least, an hour before kids were allowed to climb back in.
No, they let them go back up?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then I went back to Moneyball. I said red!
Did you win?
I think I did, actually.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
6:23, coming up, Andrea personally brings down the Rahm Emanuel administration.
Oh, I did not.
I saw it in the Tribune yesterday afternoon.
Exaggeration.
All over your internets. But let's get to Lou Manfredini first. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good morning. Wow, I can't wait to hear that story.
It's a big story. Big story.
Wow.
Did you get a chance to wish Andrea a happy birthday
yesterday? Happy birthday, my dear.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you so much.
Did you have a nice birthday?
I did. I had a very nice time.
So you dropped the ball. You didn't tell her yesterday?
I didn't.
He was thinking about it, though.
She work for you on the TV show?
I do work
for
him, yes.
She does a wonderful job.
We have
you
fun. Thinking,
don't you have like an assistant or something who could tell you about this stuff so it wouldn't be an embarrassing on-air incident?
I do,
your
actually.
Friend Steve would bring this up?
No, we catch up on Fridays. He was going to tell me today anyway.
Right. I'd rather do it in person.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting
over
for.
Over this microphone.
See?
Aren't you a little bitter?
No. Lou? No. He's one of my favorite
people.
So
you're a little bitter, though?
No. Not at all.
You know me. I don't like to start trouble.
No.
We've got some texters lined up here. We'll get to the first caller in just a second. I want to remind you, the Lou Manfredini extravaganza, the Wang Dang Doodle of fixing stuff, is tomorrow morning starting at 7. Is 7 good for you?
7 works for me.
All right, it's 7 o'clock. Why don't you come in around 7?
Okay. I get there a little before that.
Take some calls.
Okay.
And do
go
that
all
thing.
The way to 10?
Do that thing where you close your eyes as people tell you stuff and you psychically interpret why something's leaking. And then you tell them how to caulk it.
A lot of leaky stuff.
Caulk this, caulk that. Yeah. The original title of the show is going to be Lou Caulk This.
Right.
So,
but it was taken. There's a guy named Fred who does that in Minot, South Dakota.
Hey, there you go.
Right.
Hey, by the way, I meant to compliment you. Totally different topic here. Let's go to your hair.
My balance beam routine?
No, your balance beam needs a lot of work. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you.
I could make the balance beam, but I could not be on the balance beam.
Yes, you could.
Right.
Your hair looks terrific. How's the whole thing working out?
Thank you. Never in my life have I ever had more conversations about my hair.
Uh-huh.
It is hilarious to me. I was I did an appearance on Saturday at an Ace store in Roselle, and I bet there was a dozen people that came up. Wow, your hair looks really good.
It looks almost real.
And I was like, oh my gosh. I've never paid this much attention to my head ever.
Now, I missed my window of opportunity for planting and replanting.
I don't think you have.
Well, but the one question I've heard from people who are, more along your line of follicle mm-hmm. loss and the race to the back of your head,
right?
Is it painful?
The short answer is no. During the procedure, they give you this little muscle relaxer, and they use a local anesthetic actually on your scalp. So, I mean, if there's a little bit of prickliness when that goes on.
Okay.
But the way that I've described it afterwards, it's like a mild sunburn for a couple of days.
Well, that's not bad.
It's not. So it isn't like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Or you couldn't put your head on the pillow or anything like that. It was like a mild sunburn. And Dr. Yates, cranked on it. It was great.
That's, by the way, not his slogan. Dr. Yates, I'll crank on you.
I'll crank on it. Although I think he might be open to that. I'll crank on you.
Well, I think you look great.
Thank you.
Lil Man TV here in a few minutes. It's 6:26.
You can see for yourself.
You can check it out and see if I'm loaded. First caller always wins. This is, of course, sponsored by American Weathermakers. And let's go to Carrie. Good morning, Carrie.
Hey, guys, this is awesome because I'm killing three birds with one stone. I actually called in to talk about a horrifying event that we had my wife and I had last year at a carnival on a ride that was literally falling apart. But
what kind of ride was this?
It's called the Zipper. Have you seen the Zipper?
And it literally was falling apart, meaning what?
There was a guy, a carny guy, walking around with his spit cup for his tobacco, picking up metal shards. Oh. Seriously.
I think I went to college with that guy.
You're kidding.
Could be. But then I actually was going to call. This is why it's so great. I was going to call Lou tomorrow morning. I have a question for Lou about my driveway.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I was going to call and see if Lou could fix the carnival ride because my wife and I really wanted to ride it.
Well, I think they used twist ties on that carnival ride.
Nice.
Did you get on? Did you ride?
Yeah, we saw the guy afterwards, so it was too late.
Wow, that's a nice story. All right, so question about your driveway.
So, Lou, end of last summer, I had my driveway redone. It's a really big driveway. We did asphalt, and we did exactly what you recommended. We made sure we had 3 inches of gravel and, you know, the whole nine yards. It's done right. Looks good. So this year we had them seal coat it. And what they told me is for the first 3 years, we have to get it seal coated every year. Is that right or not? Because this is a big driveway, so it's like it's not cheap.
Not every year, but you do need to pay attention to the coating that goes down. You know, the thing is, anyone doing an asphalt driveway, after that goes down, you have to wait for the driveway to gray, essentially. You know, when it first goes down, it's nice and black.
That's exactly what we did. Yep,
right.
Yep.
So then it grays. That first coating will, you know, adhere to, absorb is a tough word, but it does absorb into the nooks and crannies. And the whole idea behind that seal coat is to avoid water and ice, in particular where we live, from getting into that aggregate and then eventually working it away to, you know, have pock marks and cracks and whatnot.
Sure.
So it's the type of thing that, you know, driveway sealer doesn't last years and years and years, but after probably the first or the second application, rather, you can probably go a couple, 3 years, but it wouldn't surprise me if that first coat, if you look at it in the fall, if you, you know, when October comes and you take a look at that, if everything looks consistent as far as the color and the coverage, you're fine. You could wait to do it in the spring or something like that, but it's one of those things you have to pay attention to. The minute you see it start to lift, the coating that is, then it's time to redo it.
Is there a product you recommend? If I could do this myself.
Yeah, the doing it yourself is a big job, especially if it's a big driveway. Manufacturer is a company called Blackjack, and there is a good, better, best, and you really do have to buy the better product because there's more solids in it, so it lasts longer, and it's definitely one of those products that you get what you pay for.
Okay.
All right, Carrie, you get yourself an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It also allows you to get the guy with the spit cup and pick up the shards faster.
I don't think he needs a thermostat. He lives in a van down by the river.
That's true. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. And since you're actually a legitimately funny listener, why don't you give him one of those Cassidy tire oil changes as well?
Nice.
All right, hold on.
I did go to school with a bunch of guys in Central Illinois that walked around with a big 2-liter bottle that they used at their spit cup.
That's sexy.
It is the grossest thing. And they would bring girls over, and they'd be talking to them, spitting into the bottle. I'm like, how are you ever going to get a date?
How you doing there, sweetheart?
It was the grossest thing ever.
Coupled off the text, water. Well, let me ask one other thing about the driveway, though, because I'm about to get my driveway done.
Okay.
And the guy doing it's terrific.
What's his name, Steve?
Well, I'll get the plug in later. he said, you got to get me the plat. And I said, well, where am I going to get the plat? Just Platts, Platts R Us, the Plat Hut. Where am
Platts.
I getting the plat? Platts.com. And there should be an easy way to get the plat because I don't have the plat. Mm-hmm. Do you have my plat? Has anyone seen my plat?
I've been looking for your plat for years.
Where's my plat?
I'm sure you don't have a file with your closing documents in it.
Yeah, I do, but the plat's not in there.
Okay.
It's plat-free.
So you have to get it out from the, you're down in St. Louis, so you got to get it from Missouri, the state.
Well, it's a county thing, right? It's where you pay the taxes?
Right, the county has
but
it.
But you're in East St. Louis, that's Illinois.
Right. Yeah, right. That's right. Thank you, Dave.
But shouldn't there just be like a kiosk that would make my life easy called Pick Up Your Plat?
No.
You know, you just drive through? I need a drive-through plat pickup.
Right. Not going to happen.
All right. Well, that's fine.
Sorry.
Thanks for the sympathy. Water softener salt is solid from non-use. Any way to free it up and get the softener back working?
No.
Okay.
No, you've got to pull it out. I mean, it's if you're not the thing is when you need to pull the all that out of the brine tank and wash that brine tank. So I would pull those chunks out, pour a little bleach in there, and then use a brush. If you could use a brush on a or even a broom rather, if you wanted to, because you need a little pole, and kind of scrub the sides and clean it all up. And then rinse it, add a little more water, and then put in fresh salt.
Texter says, Lou, is there a product you sell at Ace that could stop Donald Trump from spreading?
It's the same stuff that Dave uses on his buckthorn.
Oh, that's interesting.
Really? Really?
It's interesting.
Right. Now, whether you choose to use it or not, that's certainly up to you. Everyone has they're free to use it if they want.
And one more here. I've decided to quit the rat race and go to college in the land of Salukis. As a more mature student who'll be living out in the boondocks, what's the best tool I can take to school for all-purpose use? An all-purpose tool for a college student.
A 4-in-1 screwdriver.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. I don't even know if he means it.
I do.
Dirty to me.
Yeah, no.
It is.
You probably need you probably need more than that. But if that was the one thing that you were going to drop me on a desert island with, that's what I would bring with me.
All right, Dave?
Just real quick, I took your advice, Lou.
I bought
the Bonide Molmax Sonic Spike to get rid of my chipmunks.
And?
Well, I haven't put it in the ground yet because it says you have to have it a certain length. I mean, you have to have it unobstructed certain distance.
What?
From, like, the deck. So
okay, here's the thing.
I don't want to put it in the middle of my yard because the lawnmower will hit it.
No. Where do you see them the most?
Under the deck.
Okay. So right next to the deck.
Okay.
Under the deck.
Okay.
Yeah. Just put the battery. You've got the battery one because under the deck, the solar one won't work.
No, I have the solar one.
Well, but then, okay, so we need to put it.
Next to the deck?
Right, because the sun needs to hit it. Right?
Just wherever you get the maximum amount of sun. I mean, even I can figure this out.
Right.
Right.
And so,
yes.
Go ahead.
No, the directions said you have to have it unobstructed, has to be away from any
objects.
Who
knows more? The people that developed the product
or
me.
Well, that's why I'm asking Lou.
No, so here's what you do. Those things are what they do tell you is that because if it's under the deck, you probably need more than one. They're good for about a 30-foot radius.
Okay.
So try one, make sure it still has a view of the sun for a couple hours to keep it charged,
mm-hmm.
and just pound it into the ground and make sure that the solar panel part of the Molmax spike is still seeing the sun, and you will see results.
Great.
Yeah. Don't over-engineer this thing.
All right, we're way late here, but Dave had one other question.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Excuse me?
The big story is going to be Dave's questions to Lou about his buckthorn.
Right. Right. Yeah, the big story is Dave Bennett.
All right, go do your thing.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Oh, love you back.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Just within the last maybe 2 hours or so, he said, hey, I know what you meant. That there was a vacuum created, that is what allowed ISIS to be created. And Trump flatly said, no, Obama is the founder of ISIS, and again reiterated his point. You know, we have to say, obviously, President Obama is not the founder of ISIS.
What? I thought he was. Are you sure? And didn't he serve with Hitler and kill Lincoln, too? Didn't he do that? Donald Trump ought to be talking about the fact that Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Global Initiative has some major corruption questions to answer to this morning. There's a basic belief and I know, try not to laugh when I say this. There's a basic belief that when you go into public office, that your charter is to serve the public good and to do it without profiting from it illicitly.
And why do you bring logic and reason into it?
Hold on a second. I forgot how funny that was. I bring this up because we have direct evidence now that Hillary Clinton and the State Department administration, specifically two of her assistants, directly interfaced. That sounded wrong. With the Clinton Global Initiative to do favors for the Clinton Global Initiative, a non-government entity, and have them profit from it or collect proceeds from it that they are supposed to, you know, do charitable things with. The Clinton Global Initiative is more than just Bill Clinton's legacy. It's a combination of things. It's an idea starter. It's a big think tank. You know, they do specific charity work. They also have tremendous administrative costs that, frankly, is another story. about their tax status as well. That's just another kind of sleazy angle to this whole thing. But the bottom line is that you cannot use taxpayer dollars and government employees to do work for private citizens on government time, or more importantly, to grant favors because you are on the inside. Now, yes, we know this happens every day. We know it goes on every day. But when this happened and Hillary Clinton was made the Secretary of State, the specific question was, hey, what about Bill Clinton's global initiative? Never going to have an issue. You promise you put that in one of your emails that you have at your house? Never going to have an issue. Well, again, the Clintons play by their own rules. They think the rules don't apply to them. And now the explainer from all of this is the same thing that they're accusing and rightfully accusing Trump of. Just answer the question? No, they don't do it either. No, the Clinton people say, oh, how could you ask a question like that? That's exactly what Trump says. So how are you supposed to pick between these two? Donald Trump is trying so hard to hand Hillary Clinton the election, and she keeps kicking it right back to him. Maybe neither one of them want it. So let's do traffic here. And this CGI story, Clinton Global Initiative, State Department story, will continue to develop throughout the day. There's a lot the Clintons need to answer for, and they haven't answered for any of it so far legitimately. The FBI included in this, by the way, that the FBI was interested in developing a potential case against the Clinton Global Initiative, and the Justice Department asked them not to do that. So then is the White House involved? You see why people are skeptical? You see why people hate politics? So you would guess that Trump would be all over this. Trump's got it. Trump gets a newspaper. Trump listens to radio. Trump sees TV news. Trump knows. Not so much. 6:51. So Hillary Clinton is basically handing Donald Trump a file, and in the file it says, here's the crap I've done that you should focus on. It couldn't get any easier. And Trump, on the other hand, hasn't quite picked up the ball and run with it. In case you missed it, here's Trump's Thursday.
I call President Obama and Hillary Clinton the founders of ISIS. They're the founders. In fact, I think we'll give Hillary Clinton the, you know, if you're on a sports team, most valuable player, MVP. You get the MVP award. ISIS will hand her the most valuable player award. Her only competition is Barack Obama between the two of them.
Yes, he's kidding, obviously. I mean, he wouldn't bring it up again. If he brought it up again, he'd be crazy. 2 hours later.
Do you think it's appropriate to call the sitting president of the United States the founder of a terrorist organization that wants to kill Americans?
He was the founder of ISIS. Absolutely.
How do you think?
Is there something wrong with saying that? Why are people complaining that I said he was the founder of ISIS?
I'm wondering how you think that's going to play in some battleground states.
Whatever it is, it is. Look, all I do is tell the truth. I'm a truth teller. All I do is tell the truth. And if at the end of 90 days I fall in short because I'm somewhat politically correct, even though I'm supposed to be the smart one and even though I'm supposed to have a lot of good ideas, it's okay. You know, I go back to a very good way of life. Just keep doing the same thing I'm doing right now. And at the end, it's either going to work or I'm going to, I'm going to have a very, very nice long vacation.
Didn't that sound like a guy's ready to check out? Didn't that sound like check, please, Donnie?
Well, especially when he said, if in 90 days I don't win.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani almost pulled a muscle defending him on the news. And we'll play that clip for you in just a second. But I want you to remember the part where he said, I tell the truth. I always tell the truth. First, here's Rudy with Chris Cuomo on CNN.
You don't give him a fair shot. You take his words and you parse them and you take them apart. I was on the plane with him when they called him and they said to him, they're accusing you of saying... kill Hillary Clinton. He said, what? I didn't say that.
He said something clumsy that was open to misinterpretation.
If you want to misinterpret it.
But it's part of a pattern. But, he does this all part of your the pattern. Time. No, it's part his of the pattern. Pattern. I don't control what comes out of his mouth. Why go the route of saying that President Barack Hussein Obama, as Trump likes to remind people, founded ISIS? He didn't found ISIS. And then he says ISIS honors Obama. ISIS doesn't honor Obama. Why say those things?
Well, first of all, I think what he's saying there is legitimate political commentary. When we pulled out and the Obama administration and our Secretary of State mm-hmm. were unable to get a security of forces agreement for our troops, that's when ISIS formed.
Poor Rudy has really lost his way. And when you see these people lining up to defend Hillary or to defend Trump, and you just go, there's not a shot that you believe what's coming out of your mouth right now.
You're right. And that's so unfortunate, isn't it? Because when you look at everybody now.
No, it's ridiculous. But Donald Trump always tells the truth. Always, always, always. This just in. Donald Trump this morning on his assertion that President Barack Obama founded ISIS and the Islamic State blasted ratings challenge CNN for seriously reporting his sarcasm. Here's the tweet. Ratings challenged at CNN reports so seriously that I call President Obama and Clinton the founder of ISIS an MVP. They don't get sarcasm. Wait, hold on a second. I thought you always told the truth. I mean, we got to believe in you if you're going to be president. You always tell the truth.
Which is it?
So right? Is it truth or is it sarcasm? Because that's an important distinction. Now, we've looked into this, and I'm going to stand by what I said at 6 o'clock. President Obama and Hillary Clinton, there's a lot of things you could pick on there. Mm-hmm. But they didn't find ISIS.
No.
They didn't start ISIS. They didn't have a big meeting and said, let's found a terrorist organization. You know why you know that? Because we would know.
Because it's true.
We'd know that. We would know. Texter, Trump's like a drunk in a bar that talks BS with no facts. And when he leaves, everybody shakes their head and goes, what a dumbass. Is that the guy you want for president? I know she's a huge problem. I don't know that I'm voting for anybody. I'm going to move to Kazakhstan.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
All told, ISIL has now lost nearly half of the populated territory that it once controlled in Iraq, and it will lose more. ISIL continues to lose ground in Syria as well. Assisted by our special operations forces, a coalition of local forces is now pressuring the key town of Manbij, which means the noose is tightening around ISIL in Raqqa as well. In short, our coalition continues to be on offense. ISIL is on defense, and it's now been a full year since ISIL has been able to mount a major successful offensive operation in either Syria or Iraq.
7:11 in the morning, and Dr. Michael Ledeen is the co-author of General Michael Flynn's New York Times bestselling book, Field of Fight, How to Win the War Against Radical Islam and Its Allies. Here's what we know. We know that this is going to fall on the next president of the United States. And come January, when Clinton or Trump is inaugurated, this will be in your top three, if not top five at the outside, major concerns. And every day when that briefing hits the president's desk, we'll find out what new threats are there from ISIS. Dr. Michael Ledeen joins us this morning from the road. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
And to you. Book is out and available everywhere. Get two copies. You're careless, you'll lose one. What is the general's basic stated premise on how the next president has to fight this?
Have to beat them both on the battlefield, wherever they are, wherever they're hiding, whoever's giving them sanctuary, and must go after this crazy ideology of radical Islam. It's long past time for the Western world to start criticizing the doctrines on the basis of which these people run around the world and kill everywhere.
The military piece of this, going after them wherever they are, means what? Treating it like a more traditional war?
When they're gathered in large numbers on a battlefield, a place like Raqqa and so forth, yes. That's a kind of traditional warfighting scenario. But more typically, they're in smaller groups hiding in various places, and we have to find them in those places and go after them. Fact is that our intelligence probably has to be basically redone. Not so long ago in Afghanistan, we found the largest terrorist training camp ever in Afghanistan. It was more than 30 square miles, and we hadn't even seen it. We only found out about it when we tracked some terrorists back to it. So we've got a lot of work to do.
The lack of ability to have the best security minds within our reach, our people know about that particular incident you just discussed. What is that, lack of funding, better minds needed? How does that happen?
What we argue in Field of Fight is that a lot of it comes from a desire not to know because the political leadership doesn't want to know because if it knows, it might have to do something. It really doesn't want to do much of anything.
Well, explain to me how that works, though. Explain to me how that works between the Pentagon and the White House. Because I think people think that the leaders of the Pentagon can walk up to the White House and get a meeting anytime they want. It's frankly not true. But when the Pentagon wants to meet with the president and says, look, we have direct evidence, if in fact we do or don't in this case, we have direct evidence of this huge training ground. We have to take action. Is the general's premise that the president literally says to his chief of staff, yeah, I don't want to know about that?
No, what the president says is, what are you talking about, you idiot? That is not my policy. And I don't want you bugging me about stuff like that, probably in stronger language. And after a while, the intelligence professionals and the military leaders learned that if you start bringing stuff like that to your political leaders, it's bad for your career. Because you don't get your next promotion. And some of these guys even get fired. There are several cases of people getting fired. And so you stop. After a while, that the political control of the military means that after a while, the military gives up on what it may think by itself ought to be done, and they just do what they're told.
I know that General Flynn supports candidate Trump. Is he concerned about the consistency of message? Because to me, if you're going to be commander in chief, you do have to have a clear vision, and that clear vision needs to be consistent and needs to be focused. Is there a concern there?
I'm sure he does. It's not what we discussed. We had a couple of months to write a book. And so all I talk to him about is what happened when you were in Iraq, sir, and how did we beat Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and why aren't we beating the Taliban today in Afghanistan?
Doctor, ISIS does so much recruiting on the internet. How do you stop the propaganda? How do you stop Facebook from recruiting, I guess, young minds and on these various websites?
Well, what you have to do is completely discredit that ideology. When we beat Al-Qaeda in Iraq, for example, we destroyed them, and they were all of a sudden having a very hard time recruiting. Well, our leaders should have gone out at that point and said, hey, all these radical Muslims run around saying that they win because Allah is on their side and their victories on the battlefield prove the righteousness of their doctrine. So what happened in Iraq here? Did Allah change sides? Has he abandoned you? What does this mean? And what are you going to do about it? And we have to go after them.
Right. Highlight the fact that the message is wrong and that the people that can actually show you the light are not the people that are cutting people's heads off and putting it on video.
Exactly.
The book, again, is called, I'm sorry, I've got it right here, Field of Fight, How to Win the War Against Radical Islam and Its Allies. It's a New York Times bestseller. Dr. Michael Ledeen and General Michael Flynn, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Adam Hall.
Hi.
Can you give us any insight into the plan for Thursday?
Not really. I don't know.
What can you tell us about Bear Jones, and is he ready if he needs to be?
Ready for what?
I always brings a tear to my eye when I hear how close Coach is to Adam Hogue. I really feel like Adam Hogue, like the coach gets you on a different level.
Hey, we're making progress. The beginning of that little clip you heard there is from a year ago.
What?
Before a preseason game when
you're making it sound like I would set something up to be funny and not use factual information.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That is actually
right. Yeah, that's right.
Does the coach know your name now?
Yeah, I think he does. I don't think he's ever addressed me by my name.
He should call you Hoagie, Hogan, Hoaxster? The Hoag?
Hoager.
All right, so listen, I felt for you last night because there's a lot of things you could have done that would have been more pleasurable. Got a root canal without Novocaine. You punch yourself in the face. Yeah, I know it's the first preseason game, but, man, they looked awful.
Yeah, they really did. In pretty much every level of the depth chart, really no matter what the position group you're talking about, that's about as bad as you can look in a preseason game. Scores really matter, but you can't come out of a preseason game with 0 points. Usually at least, you know, the third team or the fourth team in the fourth quarter will go on a drive against, you know, some of the scrubs on the other roster. But that, I mean, the Broncos dominated from start to finish. Last night, there were some individual positives, but overall, a big concern for me throughout the preseason and really in the offseason too has been the depth in the offensive line for the Bears. And, you know, I keep hearing the Bears talk about how they are confident that they have enough depth there as they continue to be, you know, hit by injuries at that spot. And I didn't see it last night. I saw an offensive line that really could be a problem for this team this year because it wasn't just the backups and the depth. The starters struggled too.
Yeah, we saw that, Adam, not only with all the sacks that were given up, but also the Bears' inability to run the football. And it didn't seem to matter who was in there, whether it was Langford, whether it was Carey, whether it was Rodgers, the rookie Howard. I mean, they had absolutely nothing going in the way of a ground game. Do they miss Matt Forte that much, or was it just the fact that this offensive line was just not ready?
Yeah, I'll watch it a little bit closer again when I go through it this morning, but I didn't see anywhere for those guys to run last night. And 34 yards on 15 carries for the Bears running backs, that's an average of 2.3 yards per carry. That's just terrible. And here's another reason why that's unfortunate. I say this frequently in the preseason, but for the running backs, because in practice, even though they're in pads, the defense can't really tackle. These games are important to evaluate the running backs. And for a wide-open situation that the Bears have right now with their running backs as they try to replace Matt Forte, these games are valuable. These game reps are valuable. And as the Bears coaching staff sits back at Hallis Hall this morning and goes through the tape from last night, I don't know how they're going to evaluate this. You know, I don't know how they're going to say, oh, this guy was good, this guy was bad, because none of the running backs had really a chance to go anywhere last night. And so to me, in that regard, it was kind of a lost game.
Now, a positive, and there weren't many, but Alshon Jeffrey starting the game.
Yeah, and I was surprised by that, and I still, you know, looking back on it, don't know how smart it was. Here's a guy who that seems like he can get hurt at any given moment, and he hadn't gone through a full practice since August 1st, so a full 10 days before last night's game. But I think it's significant from the standpoint that it shows you that Alshon does want to be out there if you fought that hard to get in a preseason game. Jay Cutler said that really the last 2 days, they practice on Tuesday. They went through a little bit more of an in-depth walkthrough than you might see in the regular season on Wednesday in Bourbonnais before coming back to Chicago. And apparently he worked really hard to get out there, and the Bears let him go for it. And he came out unscathed, caught one ball. I mean, I guess that's a positive from last night's game, and it shows you that at least that injury wasn't significant or maybe won't lead to some other things down the road.
So do you treat it like a do-over? Do you treat it like a mulligan? Do you just go, look, it didn't happen. Just doesn't count. We're going to do it over.
Well, I don't think so, because there's still plenty of things that this coaching staff and Ryan Pace, the general manager, that can go through and say, hey, look, I don't know if it's going to work out for this guy or it's not going to work out for this guy.
Well, we need 52 new if that's the case.
Yeah. You know, here's some positives that I saw last night. Willie Young, I've mentioned him a few times throughout the training camp so far. He's looked really good. I think he's got a new contract. I think he's set up for a huge year. And while his playing time was limited last night, I thought every single rep in those first two drives, he looked really good. And he was a handful for Broncos backup left tackle Michael Schofield, who was playing for Russell Okung. Another significant development, this is probably maybe the biggest development last night, was that rookie fourth-round pick, DeAndre Hall, a cornerback that kind of models his game after Charles Tillman because of his length and his size, looked pretty good. Now, he wasn't going up against starters, but he was mirroring the wide receiver, and he was going up against Cody Latimer, who's a former second-round pick out of Indiana, who is one of the Broncos' top four wideouts. And so he was facing a pretty decent player and mirroring him into the end zone. He broke up three passes in the end zone with his length. I thought that Hall has had a quiet training camp so far, so I thought that was a significant development last night. And I'll tell you right now, corner is a spot to me that could really, really use a rookie like this, emerging into a real player, kind of like Charles Tillman did as a rookie. You may remember he had that big game against the Vikings his rookie year, going up against Randy Moss, and it was kind of, his coming out party. And I'm not saying that last night was DeAndre Hall's coming out party. He needs to do it in the regular season. But he looked good. He looked like he could play in this league. And I loved him coming out of Northern Iowa in the offseason and in the NFL draft. So I thought that that was significant.
It was nice to see Bryce Callahan get a little redemption on the Broncos' second series after he gave up the long pass to Thomas for the touchdown to start the game. But special teams, Adam, and yeah. I know this is something they want to get off to a good start with special teams play, and I know they blocked a field goal at the end of the half, but they were down 20-0 at that point. The blocked punt, they have to be trying to figure that out because that just can't happen.
Yeah, that was rookie safety DeAndre Houston Carson, who was beat on an inside move on the block punt by Broncos wide receiver Benny Fowler. And, Bears fans have been frustrated, understandably, with special teams the last 3-4 years, really since Dave Tobe left here for Kansas City. And last night wasn't good enough. There were a couple of positives out there, but you can't give up a touchdown on special teams, which is what happened as that block punt landed in the end zone and was recovered by the Broncos. So that's something they got to get fixed in a hurry. Now, unfortunately, DeAndre Houston Carson, the kid who was guilty of that block punt, got hurt with a neck injury later on in the game. So you hope that's not serious.
It's Adam Hogue. What are you writing about?
Well, I'll go back through the game today, and we'll get back at Hallis Hall tomorrow and try to figure out how the Bears fix this. And that's what I'll be writing about, WGNRadio.com/Bears. Right now, I just have my positives and negatives up from last night's game, so you can get a little bit more there right now.
The positives are shorter.
They are.
They are shorter.
And Adam will be heading to Foxborough. The Bears are going to practice with the Patriots for a few days next week, so he'll be covering that and then the game in Foxborough next Thursday against New England.
So they're going to look and they go, ooh.
Yeah.
Ah. And then they come back? Because the Patriots are pretty good.
We'll say hi to Martellus Bennett and Shane McClellan, too.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
All right, thanks, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
Adam Hogue. Michael Phelps for president. How's that? Doesn't seem like he'd want it. He's got the hot fiance and the beautiful little baby boy. What's the baby's boy's name? Rover?
Boomer.
Boomer. Boomer. It was something. Sounded like a dog.
Rover.
The bottom line here is that Michael Phelps may be our only hope. Because think about it, when things get really dicey, we could just go, hey, Michael, jump in the pool and swim again, because that's more fun watching this than knowing what's going on in the world.
Yeah, we like that. It makes us feel good about ourselves as Americans.
The Olympics have been a good distraction from the nonsense that's out there. Listen, we could use a distraction that lasts through, I don't know, November 8th, November 9th. Yeah.
This is only another week.
Did you give me the number on what Johnson and Weld need to get in the polls?
Yeah, they need by August 15th
They need 15% by the 15.
Yeah, to get up to 15%.
So they literally have 11, Monday. Monday's the 15th.
Monday's the 15th.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, Monday, yes.
So by the end of the day, Monday, they have to be at 15% in a collection of five polls, an average of five polls, as chosen by the National Debate Council on Debates and stuff.
That's not the official name, but yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't look good. And again, we have continued to look. They are well aware of the ratings of this show. They're well aware this is the number one talk show in Chicago. They're well aware that the impact they got from spending an hour with us was significant, including a lot of money raised for the campaign. Why they haven't rebooked on this show when I made an open offer to them is beyond me. And by the way, I don't know that I'd vote for them, but I know that you deserve to hear more from them.
And it's not that we haven't asked.
Every day.
We've reached out quite a bit.
So it's stunning to me how badly their campaign is being run. And frankly, if they don't get to 15% on Monday, I'll be the least shocked person on the planet. Meanwhile, at the top of the presidential race, you have the liar and the nut. And the nut is trying to hand the campaign and the White House to the liar. And the liar hands it right back to him. You want it? No, you want it. It's like hot potato. I don't want it. You want it. You take it. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton was commenting on things sort of Olympic, sort of awkwardly. Listen.
If Team USA was as fearful as Trump, Michael Phelps and Simone Biles would be cowering in the locker room, afraid to come out to compete.
What?
Instead, they're winning gold medals. America isn't afraid to compete.
What? What? This is one of those where the people writing the speech go, I got nothing. Throw this crap in. See if she reads it.
Is that where you always say, don't try to be funny.
Don't try to be funny. And don't try to stretch too hard with an analogy. Listen to Hillary again here.
If Team USA was as fearful as Trump.
All right, stop it there. All right, so if Team USA were as fearful as Trump. So in other words, Trump is bringing an atmosphere of fear. You know, it's darkness. It's fear. Mm-hmm. Everything's bad. Okay, you with me so far?
I think so, yes.
All right, continue.
Michael Phelps and Simone Biles would be cowering in the locker room.
All right, stop afraid it there. This is where it starts to go off the rails. This is where it starts to go off the rails because you got this incredible, popular, amazing display of athletics at the highest level representing America. And Michael Phelps and Simone Biles were both on the phone to the Clinton campaign and go, hey, could you do us a favor and never mention us again?
Don't talk about
and
us.
And if you have Trump's number, call him and tell him the same thing.
Oh, that's you know what she should have said? Congratulations to Michael Phelps and Simone Biles on their history-making gold medal wins.
Maybe neither one of them want it. Maybe that's it. Maybe neither one of them want it. Maybe that's the big game here. The big game here is their. Yeah, this is like people who get married, and I'm not bringing up Sandberg here. People who get married, and they're standing at the back of the church, and they go, boy, this feels wrong. Mm. But everybody's here. Everybody's here. We already paid for the reception. I'll learn to love him.
Oh.
I'll learn to love her. So they're standing at the back of the church going, oof, there's a lot of people who voted for me. Every day I open my mouth, I try to throw out something crazier. So eventually they fire me like I used to fire people on The Apprentice. And maybe Hillary goes, look, I got so many problems at home with Bill. I don't even have time to be president. And then she lies about something else.
No, that's her way out of the house.
It's unbelievable.
I can't be home tonight, hon.
It's unbelievable. Maybe neither one of them want to be the president of the United States. The Clinton Global Initiative stuff we'll get into before 10 o'clock, but in case you missed it, developing overnight into today, the Clinton Global Initiative had direct ties with the State Department while Hillary Clinton was in charge, and those ties were exploited and possibly illegally. The Justice Department asked the FBI not to investigate. That whole scenario is now being investigated. So who you got? You got the liar or the idiot?
Who the hell knows?
I agree. It's a minute before 7. You're looking for a night off. Come out and see us tonight. You want some diversions? Come go to Bal Sal Banquets tonight at 7:30. Mike Toomey from Channel 9 Morning News, one of the best stand-ups you'd ever see. John DeCoste and me. We'll make you laugh. You'll have fun. And I'd love to meet you. You get tickets at balsalbanquets.com. It'll click you to banquet venue. And right there at the top in orange, it says buy tickets to Steve Cochran Comedy Tour Eventbrite. Just click on there and it's good to go. $20. Come on, please. Not like I'm putting myself through college on that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Oh, we got a lot of show business news to get to.
But don't drown. More importantly,
movie reviews.
Yep.
Did you see this Paul McCartney story this morning?
I did not.
Paul McCartney did a Rolling Stone interview and said that the Beatles were intimidated by Yoko Ono. You've been listening to an update on Paul McCartney's thoughts. It's a regular feature we do on Friday mornings. Yeah, he said the Beatles were intimidated. So it comes down to this. Yoko broke up the band. I don't have time to analyze this any deeper than that. Yoko broke up the band.
Stop the presses. We didn't know that.
There's a new Star Wars trailer out. You may have seen it last night during the Olympics coverage. Cher is supporting Donald Trump. I'm kidding. She's supporting Hillary. The new SNL firee's got jobs. Is firee a word? I would say, how would I not know that?
How really? Of all people.
Tony Bennett having his birthday in town. And, man, we got a bunch of movies you need to review, mister. We got a lot of movies you need to talk about.
I'm ready.
So, did you see the new Star Wars trailer?
I did.
Yeah, what do you think? Because you're nuts for this.
This is actually, I'm not that enthusiastic about this. This is not for the next Star Wars movie. This is for the spinoff movie, the ones that they're going to release in between the actual Star Wars movies. So this one's called A Rogue One, and it's going to be a prequel. And really, the new trailer didn't release that much that was new. Literally, the only thing that's different in this one is there is 1.5 seconds of Darth Vader at the end of it. So it's revealed that Darth Vader is going to be in it, so there's something. But it's 1.5 seconds. Come on.
So will it do huge numbers because it's tied to the franchise?
Probably. And also, I think, because everybody will mistakenly think it's the next Star Wars movie.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not. It's the prequel. This is not the one that, is going to be the follow-up story to the one that came out, and made all that money not too long ago. So I am a huge Star Wars fan. I'm not overly geeked out about
this. How about you, Darla? You're a big Star Wars nut.
I'm completely with Dean. I'm a huge Star Wars geek, but I watched it this morning. And I thought, okay.
Yeah, I was like, eh.
Yeah. I wanted to be more wowed.
And if you're going to,
they filmed it at O'Hare. Those aren't even
right.
They just had planes landing, taking off.
I don't want to say Disney is cheaping this out a little bit, since they took over. But are you supposed to shoot a movie like that on your iPhone at O'Hare?
Yeah, I mean the Millennium Falcon didn't say United on the side of it.
Right.
I mean, who are you kidding?
UPS.
Right.
8:18. Dean will come back and talk about the other stuff we talked about. Plus, I have breaking Paul McCartney news. Yoko broke up the band.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Beyonce's got a new album out?
Yes, she dropped a new album over the weekend.
I thought you could only drop albums on Tuesdays.
I like her bouncy songs. I like
Single Ladies.
Dean and a Bray walking in. Beyonce, drop the R&B. We need something more bouncy, bouncy, bouncy.
Come on, let's go. Let's see some movement. Chomp, chomp.
Not really interested in your social commentary. Where can we put a ring on now? We put a ring now.
Who'll run the world now?
Dean's hoping for an album called Cheap Commercial Stuff.
Bay.
Right.
By the way, Dean's one-woman show where he does all of Beyonce's hits.
How have we not won a Peabody Award with this segment?
There's days where I would just like to go listen to it.
I'm sorry.
I'd like to be here and do it, but I'd also like to go listen to it.
NPR, take a couple of lessons.
That's why the slogan on this show is NPR can kiss my butt.
This just in, Steve, Paul McCartney has revealed that he was threatened by Yoko Ono.
Well, I wish you would have brought that up earlier because that's breaking news.
Have
you noticed recently how I've tried to bring some content to this segment?
I have.
And it's always been either wrong or just hit with a thud.
This is big news. I don't know what you're talking about. This is huge.
that the Beatles that broke up in the late 60s.
I think what we can learn from this, the mistake I've made is trying to bring content to the segment, that I should leave the content to you and then just mock you.
I disagree with that. But I'll add, here's what makes it. You bring the ball into the painted zone, and maybe I can tip it in with a quote from Paul McCartney from said interview.
Well,
in which he said,
Wait, I'm going to tip it to you. So you got anything on his McCartney story?
McCartney said, quote, we were kind of threatened by her. She was sitting on the amps while we were recording. Most bands couldn't handle that. We did, not amazingly well because we were so tight. It's not that we were sexist, but girls didn't come into the studio.
No, they waited at the hotel. Or we picked them up at the show.
McCartney's relationship with Ono is like, it's like we're mates. It's like we're mates.
Did she record any music prior to hooking up with John Lennon?
I think she did some, like, you know, those really scary, like you ran over a cat with your car.
Well, wasn't that her first album, Animals Trapped?
I think right.
Yeah.
Cars Under My Datsun, I think was the name of that one.
Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks, the good times continue. Let me go to a long list of show business news. It's quite a bit. Cher is doing a Hillary Clinton fundraiser.
She is, I mean, it's not surprising that, you know, to get a celebrity who's doing a fundraiser for a politician. This is no Scott Baio, but still, it's Cher, a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton. At Fire Island was the part that I thought was funny.
It's very funny. I would love to see Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump do I've Got You, Babe. I would write a heavy check to both campaigns if they did that.
That would be, you do that during one of the debates, you've got the highest rated debate of all time.
That's how they should end the debates. All right, so the two guys that got popped from SNL, Taron Killam and Jay Farrell.
Jay Farrell.
They got jobs already?
They did, yeah. Didn't take very long at all. Jay Farrell got a job on a Showtime. Actually, both of these are Showtime projects. Jay Farrell's is going to be called, my computer is locking
the
up.
The Jay Farrell Show?
It's going to be called White Famous. That's all I know about that.
That's a stupid name.
That's a Showtime project, which will be executive produced by Jamie Foxx. Killiam will be starring in a show from the creators of Friday Night Lights called Mating. But even more important than the shows, they get fired on Monday, and they've got jobs on Thursday. That says something about these guys.
Yeah, it's good. What's the Tony Bennett story?
Tony Bennett, just that he's going to be at Ravinia on Saturday night, and he turned 90 years old on August the 3rd. And I saw him, was it last year or the year before? No, I can't remember.
He was amazing, right?
When he was here with Lady Gaga. And
you were at that show, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to be there tomorrow.
You're going to be there tomorrow as well?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
One of the most amazing performers still, 90
so
years
good.
Old. He is absolutely amazing. So happy birthday, Tony Bennett. I'm pretty sure it's nearly impossible to get a ticket at this point to get in.
I'll sell you guys a couple.
All right, there you go.
Movie reviews, Hell or High Water.
That is with Jeff Bridges and Chris Pine, who's Captain Kirk in the new Star Trek movies.
I've seen stuff that says this is the best thing Chris Pine ever did. True.
I think this is a pretty good movie. I would say this is the best thing that he's ever done. And Ben Foster, who always plays these creepy, maniacal, bad guys, he and Chris Pine are a pair of bank robbing brothers. And Jeff Bridges plays a Texas Ranger who is like a week away from retiring. And he's like, okay, well, let me just do this one last case. And he goes, tearing after these two good old boys in Texas. But this movie is so much more than just a good guy, bad guy chase. It's thoughtful. It's dimensional. It, in the most clever way, addresses the gun control issue in Texas, both sides of the gun control issue. It deals with bank foreclosures and the economy and
but it doesn't feel put on. It all kind of works.
It does not put foot on. It's a really well written script.
Cool.
Really great performances. Dean's List B+ on this one.
Pete's Dragon.
Pete's Dragon is the remake of the old Disney movie. Instead of an animated dragon, now they have
you know, computer-generated special effects-y kind of a dragon story.
Why can't they get a real dragon? There's plenty of money.
I don't know. Maybe the ASPCA.
Yeah, it's probably a PETA thing.
PETA, maybe.
PETA doesn't want you using real dragons.
Something. So, yep. It's Robert Redford in this movie. It's Bryce Dallas Howard, mm-hmm. Ronnie Howard's daughter. They're both quite great. And the story of a little boy who is orphaned. Found living in the forest, who befriends a magical dragon.
That old tale.
In the forest. So it's a nice family story. I didn't like that the dragon is furry. When they made this dragon, he's furry.
That makes sense. How could a dragon be furry? You have to light yourself on fire.
He has to be scaly.
Right.
And he acts like a little puppy. You know, it's very cute and warm and endearing.
Listen, you got to be true to the dragon story.
Dragons are supposed to be, you know, terrifying.
Yeah, come on.
So that took me out of a little bit. C+ for this one. Nice and harmless, though.
Florence Foster Jenkins, Frusenglaj, and Farfik Nugan is the story of the woman who was the benefactor for... pretty much keeping New York theater in business, right?
Theater and opera and music in the 1940s. This is a real...
She wrote the big checks.
Real person. She wrote the big checks during the 1940s, but fancied herself a singer as well and would stage these little concerts and was, in truth, the worst singer of all time. Absolutely horrible. And the story is about her dream to play Carnegie Hall. Meryl Streep shows why she's the greatest actress in the world. She is subtle and tender and vulnerable and big and bold and brash and campy. Hugh Grant returns to films after about a 7-year absence playing her husband. Simon Helberg from The Big Bang Theory is also in the film and is quite good. This is a really quirky, really great film. Dean's List A on this one.
Well, that's excellent. And I heard Hugh Grant's really good, too. Huh?
Everybody is quite good.
Doesn't he seem kind of young for her? I mean, I know he is younger than her
She's an older, you know, this is, you know, it's a marriage of convenience, sort of.
Okay, so in real life, that's his case, too.
She's the older patron, and he's the young boyfriend who takes care of her, tells her how great she is, tells her how wonderful she is. After she goes to bed, he steps out on the town and has another apartment, you know, someplace else.
Oh, gotcha. He's always the cat, isn't he?
Playboy.
Right, he picks up a hooker on Sunset Boulevard. And finally, the one you can take your grandmother to this weekend, Sausage Party.
Yeah, this is where all the Oscar buzz is, Steve, on this movie called Sausage Party. This is not a movie about encased meat. Steve has been calling me all, you know, do they include bratwurst in this film?
Yeah, well, Kevin Powell was really excited. Kevin said, hey, we going to go to this?
Yeah.
Because he's not old enough to go to an R-rated film.
Is it pork sausage? Is it knotwurst?
Yeah. Right.
This movie is just nothing but dirty double entendres. It is every sex joke you can think of. Every drug joke you can think of, every ethnic joke that you can think of. The premise is that the foods in your grocery store, the products on the shelves, come to life. And they can't wait for we, the customers, to come in and take them and choose them, put them in our carts and take them out of the store because they've been told that it's the promised land. When you leave the grocery store, it's the promised land. Problem, Steve, is this. A jar of honey mustard made it out to the promised land, but was returned and revealed to all of the other foods in the store what really happens when food is taken out of the grocery store, that you're sliced, diced, cooked, boiled, burned, consumed, digested.
So they all want to stay in the grocery
store. It's hell. Well, they now don't know what to do, so they fight back. They fight back against the humans. But in this extremely hard R-rated world where a hot dog wants to get freaky with a hot dog bun. Salma Hayek's voices one of the characters in the movie, and she is a lesbian taco shell.
Okay. Is there anything less obvious?
There's Simon the Bagel Man.
I can pretty much guess what happened to him.
That's a tiny little bit of...
Where did you come in grade-wise?
I gave this a B. It's stupid. It's so stupid.
It is what it is. Know what you're getting into.
And all that. But it's brave and it's bold. It's unafraid. there are times where I was embarrassed how much I was laughing out loud. It's a funny movie. It's a dirty, funny movie. I gave it a Dean's List B.
And again, bring Grandma.
If you want to kill her.
Are you on the radio, Sunday?
I am with my guest, one Mr. Robert Redford.
Wow, very nice.
Sorry, I couldn't get anyone bigger.
Tell him I said hello. Not that much to make me happy. I'm a little Stevie Wonder. Once again, I want to thank Dave for playing the guitar. Boy, the riff is really strong. Sounds just like him.
Working on it.
You can hear the soul in his voice. Coming up on 8:45, let me say hi to Jerry O'Connell here. Speaking of things that make me happy, I love Jerry O'Connell. I don't even know Jerry O'Connell. I love Jerry O'Connell. Does that make you? It shouldn't make you uncomfortable, Jerry. I just love your work.
Guys, first of all, I got to say happy birthday to Andrea.
Oh, thank you. Nice. Oh, this is the best.
I mean, you had everybody come to this thing.
Yeah.
Day made.
First of all, I'm noticing, the thing I really notice is that it's before 8 a.m. and everyone's got a rosé in their hand.
Yeah. Yeah. He's watching the
clip. Did everyone get drunk yesterday?
No, I wouldn't say drunk, but then again, how do you know if you are?
How do you know if you're drunk? Typically, if you're talking louder, if you're laughing for no reason.
If you meet Jerry O'Connell and you go, I love Jerry O'Connell. He just makes me happy.
Right. If you're dancing and you realize there's no music playing.
That's true. That is
usually sucks.
That is directly indicative of a trouble. That's
or possible. If you're in a corner, Steve, and you're crying.
That's not good.
Hey, you know what? I think Jerry knows our friend Patty Vasquez.
Yeah, that's
Patty
right.
Vasquez. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Very well. Very well. Here in Los Angeles. You know, I was going to say that. I know that Patty works at WGN Radio. I met her a couple of times here in Los Angeles when Patty was working on our show and all that stuff.
They were talking about a project together, which may still happen. Here's the thing. Projects, you know, they come and they go all the time. It's like when I turned down the original Gone with the Wind. Right. You know, you never know. It could come up again.
Let me tell you, Steve, that was a mistake because that movie's here to stay.
Did it do well? I couldn't see it.
It did well. I hear it's doing really well on a video cassette.
You could always be in the sequel, Steve, you and Jerry.
Oh, that's fantastic. Jerry O'Connell.
Let me talk about all my amazing work and all my jobs and everything. I want to talk about your Cubbies, man. I don't want to jinx anything, but things are looking great this year.
I feel like we need to struggle a little more. I feel like to be really, there should be a cave-in sometime in early September.
Why would
just
you even...
to bring Cubs fans' worst nightmares to the front? You gotta get the poison out. You gotta get the poison out. You gotta show that they can win it. You don't want to win this thing by 30 games.
Yeah, you do.
No. Fun. They're really good, Jerry. They're really good.
Do we? Is this Theo Epstein? Is he that amazing?
Yeah, he's kind of the.
For those who don't know,
he's kind of the mad scientist. Yeah, yeah, he's the guy that built it.
He really is, isn't he?
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. For 3 or 4 years, I was advocating lynching him, choking him, and beating him to death in a public square, because he had put like a little league team on the field, and Dave was the voice of reason. Dave said, "Look, they're coming. They're coming. It's going to happen. It's going to happen." So it turns out, Jerry, I am drunk.
I will say this before we talk about all my amazing projects. I think the world really wants a Cubs postseason.
Don't you? Well, I hope so. I mean, to be fair, I certainly hope so. Come on.
The world really wants that.
Since 1908.
How about a Cubs-Dodgers NLCS?
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. That would be a fun one.
Obviously, Jerry's a huge Dodgers fan.
Yeah. He's a big sports fan.
Jerry O'Connell is doing Mistresses. I don't mean that in his personal life. I mean, Jerry O'Connell is doing the show Mistresses, a big hit on ABC, and you directed a couple of these. I think you addressed this in another interview. Your beautiful wife, Rebecca Romijn, if she came to you and said, I got a script and I've got to do this, I got to do that. I know you're actors and stuff, but this sounds like nothing but trouble.
You mean sex scenes?
Yeah. I don't like to call them sex scenes. I like to call them nookie fests.
My wife and I celebrated our 9th wedding anniversary last month.
That sounds cool. God bless you.
You know, at that point, you know, you like to spice things up a little bit, and what better way than to be professional actors and to say, listen, go have fun.
But bring the clip home.
You can
home.
Do whatever you want in those scenes. You know, it's funny. I actually don't talk. If I have a sex scene, like in Mistresses, which you tend to, it's just one of those shows where it's like everything ends up being in the bed. You know, it's just, it's almost like a funny joke. It's like you meet a character in Mistresses and you know that physical relations are imminent.
Yeah. Yeah. Thus the title.
Thus the title. But like when my wife is like, hey, how was work today? I always go, you know, nothing really happened. Nothing. Like, it was okay. Whatever. They had like, for lunch, they had fish.
So what happens on, let's say you're sitting around, on a Thursday night, or I should say on a Monday night, because Thursday night the show's not on. On a Monday night at 9, and she's flipping through, she's got the remote, she goes, oh, well, let's watch this. What happens then?
If we come across it and we watch it together, I will deal with it then. But I won't bring it up. It's like everything else in marriage. It's
right,
like,
right.
Don't deal with it until you have to absolutely deal with
don't
it.
Don't have the fight until it comes to you.
Right.
Otherwise, live in denial. This is the secret to a happy marriage.
Deny.
I actually just do whatever my wife wants me to do.
That's the right call. That's the right call. Listen, I've met her. That's definitely the right call. Jerry O'Connell, he directs. He actually, Jerry O'Connell on Ice, coming to the Rosemont Center.
Oh, right. It is.
And the statue.
I did direct this Monday's episode. I directed, which was a big mistake. I'll never do that again. I'm done with directing.
Listen.
Too much work. You have to get there before everyone else.
Right, and you got to stay out. You got to stay after, right?
Oh gosh, people got mad at me. I was telling them what to do. People don't like you when you're a boss. No one likes you. No one likes you. I used to be the funniest when I was an actor. I was the funniest guy on set.
Right.
Everyone wanted to be my friend.
Right.
Everyone. People hung out with me.
Now?
People wanted to know what I was doing afterwards. You come in as the boss and start telling people what to do. They hate you.
And they go over to the craft services table. They go to the craft services table and they talk about you behind your back. And Jerry goes over and goes, hey, guys, what are you doing? And then they all walk away.
It was just a mistake. Like, I did it. I can say I did it. But that's it. That is it. The episodes are super fun, though. I mean, we had a fun time doing them. I have amazing actresses, Lynn Whitfield, Jess McCallan.
Well, it's great. I mean, the show's a hit.
But being the boss is just not for me.
I feel bad about this because I got a meeting this afternoon. I'm pitching Gone with the Wind 2. Now it's personal.
Yep.
And I was going to pitch Jerry as a director.
Going, gone?
Right.
Is that what it's
going
to be?
Going, gone with the wind.
Jerry directs.
I'll call you after.
I will do it, but I mean, it's just weird that everyone is going to be mad that I'm telling them what to do and everything.
Well, I don't want to end this on a down note, so let's. You got to go, and we just want you to know we love you.
Hey guys, I'm no meteorologist, but please be careful with like the AC and everything this weekend. It's going to be super muggy out there for like the next 3 days.
Bye, Jerry.
All right, thanks, man. We'll talk to you later. Go have fun.
Love him.
Mr. Jerry OC.
Could
that's
he be
your Twitter handle.
You've interviewed 1,000 people.
Oh, he's
1,000
actors. Guys.
Isn't he
he's
just
one of my
the nicest?
Guys. Yeah, absolutely.
Love him.
Mary's here. She was married to Jerry O'Connell, but then she dumped him and he went off with Rebecca Romijn.
I know. Can you believe that?
Good call, Mary. He's a hottie.
I hope Sandberg was listening because that was good advice for her and Pat for their wedding. And for marriage advice, just be in denial. Just be in denial. Don't talk about anything until you absolutely have to.
And they're going to have a rainy wedding today.
That's good advice for the weekend and for any marriage that's going on this weekend.
Yes.
Don't talk until you have to.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Come on! 9:14, our friend Kevin Powell used to produce this program. And is he with us? He is with us. All right, let's go to the phone. Morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. You know, checking on Dave and Andrea?
Andrea, happy belated birthday. I hope you had a great day.
Thank you,
hello, Dave.
Kevin. I missed you. We missed you for that.
I missed you, too. I hope you had a great day.
Ah,
you
want
to say hi to Dave? since he's your boss.
Hey, Dave, go Cats.
Thanks, Kev.
How about Mary Vanderbilt?
Hey, Mary.
Yeah, hi, Kev.
Shoot the bird.
What?
Did you make a cake yesterday for
I did. You missed the Portillo's cake. I tried to save you a piece, Kevin, but by the time I walked about 10 feet, it was gone. Well, Grzanich is here. Oh. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Grzanich.
That doesn't surprise me.
Grzanich, the cake dinosaur, is here.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Grzanich, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Chow it downagus. It's a strain of dinosaur people haven't heard of. How much cake did you have yesterday?
I had 4 pieces.
What? I almost brought in a bunt today.
I was kind of sick to my stomach.
A bunt? A bunt.
You're like the David Copperfield of cake with all the cake you make disappear.
It's so good, though. Mary's cake is so good.
It's a good cake.
Kevin can be heard afternoons on the Rokan show. How's that working
out for
you?
Hey, Kevin, thanks for asking. I'm good, thanks. Jacobson.
Well, I talked to Mike before he put me on. Mike, I hope you're doing well also.
Thanks good for asking.
You want to say hi to Sandberg?
Hey, Mary. Isn't she getting married today?
She's not. She's busy.
She'd ignore my text anyway.
How about Bennett?
Hey, Bennett.
All right, we're out of time.
Anybody upstairs?
We're going to talk baseball.
Ryan's here, too.
Ryan,
Ryan Burrow.
Oh, Ryan Burrow. Who else is in the newsroom? Just Ryan?
Just Ryan and me, yeah.
Yeah, say hi to Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Kevin.
Ryan sounds like he's being like... locked in a dungeon.
Poor Kevin. Kevin, I got an email from Kevin.
TV at WGN clean, too, if clean you want to say hi.
Just walked into.
You got an email from Kevin.
An email from Kevin at 3 a.m. He was reporting from Wrigley Field after that game going very late. So he's probably, how much sleep did you get, Kev?
I got enough. I'm not about to complain about sleep when I know the morning show drill. I know what you guys are working on.
I went to the game, Dave.
I'm plenty fine.
You didn't ask how much sleep I got.
Okay, what time did you
lose? Well, I left in the 10th, so.
This is a really good segment. It's terrific.
Yeah, what are we talking about anyway?
What time did everybody go to bed last night? That's the segment for the week.
The Olympics are killing me, Kev.
Will there be cake?
Yeah, sometimes I listen to Ro's show and I go, what the hell is he talking about? who have I got to criticize? I mean, who am I to criticize Ro? All right, so the Cubs are really good.
They're really good. They continue to find ways to win.
That's our baseball segment. The Cubs are really good.
They're really good. The White Sox are not so good. But the Cubs are fun to watch. They continue to find ways to win. We saw it last night, a walk-off walk for Rizzo. They've won on a suicide squeeze bunt. They've won on a wild pitch. So... as Joe Maddon called it last night, a total team effort, and it really is. I mean, they had John Lackey warming up in the bullpen because Mike Montgomery, their newly acquired reliever, is throwing close to 50 pitches, and he's not really designed to do that, however you want to say it. So Maddon was sort of stuck because of the bullpen, some injuries they've had, and they've sort of been worked quite a bit, but they find ways to win. I think it's extra sweet for the Cubs and for Cubs fans beating the Cardinals like that.
Is there going to be any follow-up from this Matt Holliday hit-by-pitch that left him with a fractured thumb?
There shouldn't be. I'm not going to say there's not because it's Cubs-Cardinals. You never know. But, you know, Joe Maddon felt awful about it after the game, as did Anthony Rizzo. At the time, at the moment, there really was no reason to...
Is someone eating grandma's butterscotch candy? What is that rapper sound I'm hearing?
I heard that too.
It's like a rapper.
And it's eating a butterscotch. He's eating a Werther.
I had a piece of cellophane in my head. Sorry.
It's a Werther.
How long have you been on the air?
I didn't know you could
eat it. It's your first day?
Do you have orange slices too?
I just had a bullseye.
So let me ask you this, Kev.
I thought it was lightning or
worst segment ever.
Okay. What's the deal with Chapman and that gets a steak dinner now?
Yeah, so the story was Joe Maddon said that in the minor leagues, if you have a 4-pitch inning, you win yourself a steak dinner. Because in the minors, if you get the first two batters on one pitch, the next batter almost always is going to take a pitch in order to, you know, see it extend the inning. So if you get a 4-pitch inning in the minors, you get a steak dinner. In the majors, you know, they up it because the higher competition to a 3-pitch inning, you get a steak dinner. I don't know. That's just what Joe Madden, that's his own little personal rule, and Chapman did it last night. I also give credit to the Cardinals batters because all three of the batters actually made contact with Chapman's pitches. So three batters in a row made contact. But I don't know. That's just the Joe Madden way. He says if you do that, he'll buy you a steak dinner. Simple as that.
Justin Rose gets the first ace in the Olympics. You watching that?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't see that. Was that this morning or was that yesterday?
It was yesterday. I mean, how would you know? Okay. You were busy at the game. But that's the first hole in one in the Olympics, and the Americans not doing great so far, you know?
No,
and,
Ricky Fowler, that's a disappointment. So, finished third to last yesterday.
Yeah, I got to get it. That's a Steve Cochran-like performance. We got to get it going there. All right, so, again, what have we learned? Nothing.
Cubs are
really,
good.
Nothing.
And
Cubs
Davey
are good.
Twerthers.
Cubs are good, and Dave's wrinkling cellophane, like wrapping a Christmas present at a movie.
Okay.
Well, it's fun, guys.
And Grisanna eats cake. What was a shock. .924 Steve Cochran show continues. Kevin Smith got a new show coming as a talk show. I'm looking forward to this because I've not seen it yet. Normally, you get like a little sneak peek kind of thing. And just send us a little. Send us a little preview, but the series previews Sunday night on AMC. This is an AMC production and premieres Sunday night. On AMC TV. There it is. At 10 o'clock Chicago time. Let me go to Kevin now. And good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you folks?
We're doing great. But I'm worried because you got a great career going, man. You make movies, you act in movies. You don't have to take on a talk show. Trust me, talk show's a pain in the butt.
Oh, this is all I want, dude. I want your job. I'll switch with you in a heartbeat, man. You know, I've always wanted to be on the radio. That's why I never pass up opportunity to go terrestrial, man. I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, you are.
Crazy podcaster. I love recording. I love the sound of my own voice, obviously. But if somebody would have just given me a radio job years ago, I would have inflicted all those terrible movies on people, man. I always wanted to do theater of the mind, man. So that's my ultimate goal. Like, I won't feel accomplished until one day I got a morning radio show. I grew up on morning radio.
Well, you cracked the code then.
Don't believe terrestrial.
No, you cracked the code and you called me out for the fraud I am. It is the greatest job. It starts a little early, but it is the greatest job.
I mean, come on. Like, in my world, I got to provide, you know, images. That takes, you know, a degree of skill that I don't have. But, man, I could talk. So the idea of being in front of a microphone, waking up with people, it's a great job you got. But, in terms of a talk show, like, we kind of have one already on AMC, the show called Comic Book Men. Not truly a talk show, but, you know, we do a lot of talking on it. So this Geeking Out show that we're doing, me and Greg Grunberg, that's also on AMC, that's purely like us talking to the people that make stuff that we dig. Like, that's, you want to talk about easy work, man. You just get to fan out on people to be like, oh my Lord, I can't believe you did this.
This sounds to me like the closest thing to Wayne's World. Like, you're just sitting in your room just talking to people.
We're not worthy. Absolutely. They do let us out and we get to go places. Like, we first episode that's on Sunday night, we go up to Universal tour, you know, the Psycho House on the Universal
tour.
Interview J.J. Abrams. Greg grew up with J.J., and, you know, when J.J. first decided he wanted to be a movie maker, he was on the Universal tour. So we were like, let's go there, and we'll interview him there, and got a really great piece out of J.J. I mean, you know, J.J.'s been interviewed a zillion places, particularly before, during, and after Force Awakens. But, you know, he's known Greg his whole life, so this made it just a little bit more special. We were able to get some inside dirt we hadn't heard before. Like, he casually threw out in the middle of the interview, because I was talking about Kathy Kennedy, who was the producer of Force Awakens, and I was saying, like, when did you meet her? And he was like, I think it was when I was a kid I met her, because, you know, she had me cleaning Steven Spielberg's old Super 8 movies, and then I re-met her years later when I was working on Roger Rabbit 2, and he starts going forward, and I'm like, wait, there was going to be a Roger Rabbit 2?
That was going to be my question. Man. Who knew that?
Holy cat. That's what I'm telling you. So we got that in the show. Like, that's what I dig about the show is, you know, we could dig for stuff that you haven't necessarily heard before. I mean, you know, don't don't get confused. It's certainly not a hardball show. Nobody's ever going to get asked the tough questions. It's geeking out. This is where we try to find out about spoilers. That's the biggest, toughest questions we ask.
How's it really end? By the way, are you by a garbage truck or something? What's going to about to back over you?
My house is right next to a garbage dump. No, the garbage truck is going through the neighborhood right now.
I was going to say, I was worried for you.
It does sound like this is where they drop all the trash, doesn't it?
I was worried for your safety. It's geeking out. It's Sunday night, 10 o'clock Chicago time on AMC. By the way, tell everybody who Greg is.
Greg Grunberg, man. Greg Grunberg is a guy who was on Heroes. He played Matt Parkman, the cop. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He's in everything that JJ does. In The Force Awakens, he was Snap Wexley, one of the Resistance pilots. So him and I get together. We know a lot of people because we've both been working in this business for like 2 decades. And so, you know, the idea was like, let's call on all our friends and all our contacts and make a show that we wanted to see, kind of like a sports center, but for people that love movies and TV and comics and stuff.
Listen, I'm a fan and have been for a long time, and you've been nice enough to do all the shows. You're always welcome here. You can take this show for a couple weeks, see what you can do with it.
God, if you ever want to go on vacation, I ain't going to do anything with it. I'll just fill it with talk. But if you ever want to take a break and they're like, we need somebody to sit in, I'm your man. Are you kidding me? I love Chicago. I was just in Chicago not too long ago, man. It's my favorite city on the planet. Me and my wife, that's our romantic city. Like, it's like, ooh, we're going to Chicago. Because we had this wonderful trip there going back to, I think it was during the Jersey Girl press tour, which, you know, as you imagine, is not a favorable, memorable time for me in my life. But we had this wonderful weekend in Chicago. Like, I did press on a Friday, and then I didn't have to go anywhere until Monday.
That's great.
And it was in February, but it was, like, incredibly warm. It was a 75-degree day in February.
Yeah, how about that?
Everyone was out on Michigan Avenue, man. And, like, Chicago, kind of like Canada, one of the only places in the world where I think I'm recognized the most outside of New Jersey. And
this is a great town. This is a great town for you.
It's an amazing town.
And it's a great town for you. And when you come in, we're right on Michigan Avenue with a windowed studio. And I'm not making this up when I say this. The Today Show and everybody else stole this idea a long time ago. This thing was here in the early 80s. And maybe even the
70s. Really? Is that where it began?
Yeah, it began right here. And we've got the windowed studio right here, and it'd be great.
And so we never get distracted, ever.
No.
Ever.
Look at that shiny thing.
You would hear a lot of dead air with me staring at the Chicagoans walking past. I would do an hour of, I can't believe we could see people.
There's not enough Adderall and Vyvanse to take your 4 hours there. Listen, congratulations. Again, it's geeking out. It's going to be fun. Sunday night, 10 o'clock. It's our pal Kevin Smith and Greg, and we'll see you, and we'll watch it, and then we'll figure out your radio career.
There you go. That's the next step.
All right, buddy. See you. Thanks. And you can follow Kevin Smith and follow the show. You can go to the AMC website, and you can also go to Kevin on Twitter and on Facebook. And I asked him, you know, what his MySpace page was, and he hung up on me.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720
WGN Chicago.
Kevin Smith was on. I should have plugged this, and I forgot. There's a Kevin Smith feature called Yoga Hosers. Yoga Hosers in theaters September 2nd with a special Fathom event on August the 30th. Look for Yoga Hosers. It's PG-13.
That was on the next page, and Jen Weigel's name was next to it, so I thought that was what Jen was talking about today, Yoga Hosers. No. I did. Look, it's written Yoga Hosers and then Jen Weigel.
Sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah. Lovely Jen Weigel joins us now. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Doing fine. What do you have coming up?
Tonight, we've got Friday Funnies at the Wilmette Theater, so stand-up comedy. We've got Paul Teodo, who is the winner of The Moth, Larry Bloom, who does Funnier by the Lake, Claire Swanson, Merritt Landsteiner, Melissa Rochelle.
Who's the first guy, Paul?
Paul Teodo.
You want a moth?
He won a moth. Yeah.
What's a moth?
The moth? The storytelling? You never heard?
I don't know the moth. Do you know the moth? No, I don't know the moth.
Okay, we'll have to get you out one of these days. It's storytelling in under 5 minutes.
Do you know
minutes.
What time I get up?
I do. And it usually happens when you're sleeping, so yes. We'll forgive you for that.
This is perfect for you, though, Steve. Storytelling in under 5 minutes.
Yes.
Also, it's segment length.
Exactly. It's fabulous.
You can see a play in 5 minutes.
Can that you imagine? It's like.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Is he funny?
He's very funny.
You promise?
Yeah. I promise. Yeah, we've had him up there before.
Well, he better be funny.
He's back by popular demand. And Chris Traney, also back by popular demand. These guys are really... And gals, we have a mixed bag. Hannah Stanley is going to be joining us on September 9th.
Oh, we like Hannah.
So that's fantastic. Nice. If I get my druthers, we'll get Andrea Darlis on that stage.
Well, we're trying to convince Ennett to come out and just do sports.
Well, that would be very
funny.
Stand
on stage and just do a sports guest.
You know what? You got to know your audience. I'd laugh.
Right. Dave, would you do that?
Sure.
I will. Jen, all right, laugh every day, Jen. No, I'm kidding, Dave.
All right. So tickets, how?
You go to WilmetTheater.com, and theater spelled that funny way. Theatre.
Theatre.
Yeah. JenWeigel.com. And I also, next week, I've got the Manhattan Medium next Thursday. He's back by popular demand. Thomas John.
Yeah.
Andrea, can you come to that? Can I get you up there at all, or does Steve have to be there for you to come?
No, I'll go. I'll absolutely be there. I'd be honored to perform with you all.
Oh, that would be so cool, because you're funny.
Thank you, Jen.
You are.
Okay, enough of this mutual love society.
Okay, well, Steve won't come because we can't afford him. But when Steve wants to come,
for you, I'd do it.
Would you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for you, I'd do it.
Aw. Okay, October 7th, you're booked.
Am I? Better see if I'm booked.
Okay.
I hold in my hand, and with your handsome son here with you, this is perfect. Hey, dude. Hi. This is a list of downloaded apps according to age. I'm going to see how well you know these app downloaders.
Okay.
Let's go in opposite direction. Boomers, 50 to 75-year-olds. And these are categories.
Okay.
Okay, so what's sports, for instance, would be a category.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So what's the number one app 50 to 75-year-olds download? You know. You saw
the
list.
Well, I printed it, yeah. So.
Yeah, you know
I don't know, like CNN or something?
Weather.
Weather. Okay, weather.
Weather.
Like, right, Tom Skilling.
Weather. Second place, 55%.
Okay.
Second place surprised me, photo apps. But I guess looking at the grandkids or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
By the way, Abigail Grace, my first grandchild.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect Abigail Grace.
Yes.
7 months old, now playing. Way ahead of other grandkids, if you're happy and you know what.
Is she on apps now?
She's not on apps.
Okay.
But she's got her phone.
She has
you get her going. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hand. She'll knock you out.
No.
I mean, she's just wailing her arms around. You know, it's an amazing thing. And you know this. You're a mom.
Yeah.
You just look at the kid. Just look at her. She makes me happy.
When we were driving
just
downtown.
Just walk into her room. I just look at her and she makes me happy.
In the rearview mirror, I'm looking back at my 10-year-old.
Makes you happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Not kidding.
Did he say you're weird?
Okay. He's rolling his eyes back there. That's the phase I'm going into, Steve, the eye roll phase.
Yeah, but that's only 5 or 6 years.
Great.
Social media, 21% for 50 to 75-year-olds, followed by music apps. Mm-hmm. This is funny. Coupon and deal apps, 15%.
Yep.
And then cooking, 1.8%. They basically gave each of the demographics the same five categories. You know, how would you rate them? Gen Xers, 35 to 49-year-olds.
Okay.
Number one category of the ones that we mentioned, the six categories we mentioned, what do you think for Gen X? I think music.
Social media, I would say.
Social media?
I don't know.
In terms of social media, was second. Weather.
Weather again?
Weather.
Tom Skilling rules the world.
Weather.
Wow.
Weather, social media, music, photo apps, coupons, again, cooking, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep, yep.
Millennials.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a 2-foot putt.
Right? E-news.
Well,
right.
It's social media, right?
Okay,
social
right,
media, right. That's got to be number one.
Right.
Number two for 16 to 34-year-olds.
Number two. Don't say weather.
I'm going Pokemon.
It's weather.
Oh, isn't that wild?
Weather.
Maybe it's
the
because
number two most downloaded app.
Maybe it's because they do want to go play their Pokemon or
They
games.
Never go outside.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is weird. Music third.
Okay.
Photo apps like Instagram fourth. Well, that'd be social, I suppose. Instagram would be social.
But the millennials are mostly on Twitter, right? Were the old the 30
I thought
plus
Instagram was winning now over
is it more
Twitter,
so?
But I don't know.
Britt, what do you do? Instagram, Twitter?
He doesn't do either one. Mommy hasn't given him a phone.
Okay, got it.
So let's not.
Sorry, Jen.
That's a good thing, dude.
Love you, man.
That's a good thing. Yeah, exactly.
But, I play Pokemon too.
Oh, geez.
How's but he does, playing Pokemon?
Well, he has an iPad.
I don't play the video game.
It's you do it on your app?
Yeah, on his apps. But he just downloaded an app today for stop animation and was making a movie in the back seat with his Lego guys.
I don't doubt it.
I'm like, what?
You're a genius. I want to be in your next movie. Good to see you, buddy. And great to see you. All right. So tonight.
Yes, tonight. 8 o'clock. Come
8
to Wilmette Theater. Yeah. Just mosey down in the neighborhood and pop on in.
Come in. It's fun.
Yeah. We have a great time. Okay. And then, I'm Spiritual Damn It Podcast if you want to, you know, expand your woo-woo mind.
Yeah. Where we go for that?
WGNplus.com.
WGNplus.com. And for all things Jen Weigel.
JenWeigel.com.
All right. There's a lot going on there.